thing.
Hello, here's Uncle Hank at Radio Central, starting off a half hour that includes music, sports, and in just 2.5 minutes, an interview with Prudence Farrow, sister of Mia Farrow, sister-in-law of Frank Sinatra. First, let's hear some music.
Will everyone here kindly step to the rear and let a winner lead the way? Here's where we separate guns from the noise, women from the boys, from the poison ivy back in the bunch. I came up with a hunch, this was an upside.
Sinatra. She once wanted to be a nun, but she decided against that, and now she's opened a yoga institute in Boston. She believes that she's found a way to bring happiness and peace of mind to people, and hopes that this school will be the first of many across the country. She talked about her project and about her life with Monitor's Ron Pabuda.
Prudence, what was the single thing that led you into yoga as a way of life?
Like, I was in New York City and it used to... I used to be there, and I would get all nervous and tense, and people would be so far away from me, and it was really scary. Then, with yoga, I was finding myself.
Have you searched yourself in other ways before you came to yoga?
Yes, through drugs. I did a lot of soul searching. LSD, I took that 3 times.
What was your experience?
I had religious. I was seeking happiness. Why am I here? And who am I? And is there a God?
These frustrations or soul-searching or looking for security, what do you think it stems from, your childhood, your upbringing?
Yes, it does. It stems from lack of security.
Well, what kind of a childhood was it for you, then, that would bring this on in semi-adult life?
Well, we did a lot of traveling. I grew up in one area with friends, and you know, everything like that was secure. Knew everybody, and then we moved, and we went to a whole new group of people in Spain, and then we went to another group, and then England, and I became very self-conscious, because when I moved into a new group of people, I wouldn't be like them, and I wouldn't, you know their language, or even look like them sometimes.
Did you express this feeling to your mother?
Yes, I did. I used to tell Mom all the time. She would sympathize, you know? And she'd say, you know, you're a lovely person. That doesn't matter. What matters is if you're real and if you're good and if you love the other people, they love you, all that.
How about your sister Mia? Were the two of you close? Did you discuss this personally?
Really, I was fighting, and so it would be terrible. I'd, you know, go and beat her up, and we were about equal in strength. We'd pull each other's hair out, you know. We'd be an equal battle. Then we went to school in England. We became very, very close because all we had was each other. We were put in a boarding school. We didn't know anybody. It was all scary, you know. And I got sick the first day I was there for about 2 weeks, and they would come to my room, and we became so very, very close, and we began to love each other, and since then, you know, that tie has really been very, very strong.
How does Mia then feel about your involvement in the world of yoga? Has she been with you through these trials and tribulations, these experiences you've gone through?
Almost as much as one can be with me. I've told her things, and she understands because she's very intuitive and very real, and she cares.
What would you like to see happen to the school in Boston?
I'd like to have a lot of places where people could really relax and be really real, you know, instead of having to play act. What really seemed beautiful to me would be if we could all be together, all ages, and all try and understand each other at our different levels of development. We are looking for peace of mind and happiness. As we all do know, it's really from within.
Prudence Fowler has seen and done more in her 19 years than most of us experience in a lifetime. Now she seeks the serenity and peace of mind which she earnestly feels yoga will bring to her and others like her. Ron Perbuta, 4Monitor, now back to Radio Central.
She hasn't done more than I've done in my lifetime. I'm certainly serene. Prudence Fowler, still looking for answers at the age of 19. Here are the sandpipers of Guantanamera fame with Cuando Sale de Cuba. Monitor 67, where we'll be hearing in just a few minutes from Joe Garagiola, who will explain why silence can be golden for athletic coaches.
Stay with us, won't you? You're on the Monitor Beacon. Who led the major leagues in batting in 1935?
That's right.
He played for Pittsburgh in 1935. Son of a gun. It was Archie Vaughn.
That's right.
Because he usually is right, sports fans turn to Bill Mazur for answers. Weekdays at 5 p.m., Saturdays at 6 on WNBC. Here's a message from the Biltmore Theater. It finally happened. Broadway has a hilarious new American comedy called The 90-Day Mistress. It opened Monday night at the Biltmore Theater, and it stars Diane Cannon, Martin Milner, Ruth Ford, and Walter Abel. Alan Jeffries of WABC-TV called it funny with clever lines and good performances. Walter Winchell said Broadway's sexy, hilarious hits have new competition in The 90-Day Mistress. It's Adam and Eve in pajamas. New York welcomes the new comedy smash, The 90-Day Mistress. This is the conversation station, WNBC, New York. Again, Morgan for Monitor with Joe Garagiola just ahead, as noted. First, let's listen to Miss Peggy Lee as she sings Something Stupid.
I know I stand in line until you think you have the time to spend an evening with me.
Sounding off in public, as practiced by athletes and coaches. Brought to you by State Farm Mutual, the world's largest car insurance company.
Being fined by a league president can be rough, but it can also be justified. And I'll be back with an example of that after this from State Farm.
Hi, George Carlin here in Teaneck, New Jersey, where a dirty gray car insured by an ordinary insurance company has just piled into a cleaner, whiter, and brighter car insured by State Farm Mutual. Here with me is an average housewife, certainly no better than average. Could I possibly have your name, ma'am?
Well, it would be a tremendous coincidence.
Coincidence?
Yeah, for you to have my name.
No, I mean, could you tell us your name?
Congolia Brackenridge.
That would have been a coincidence. Now, Mrs. Brackenridge, there are two cars out there in the intersection, one insured by an ordinary insurance company, the other insured by State Farm, the company that got to be the world's largest by providing big protection and fast claim service at low rates. Which of the two seems to be getting the fastest claim service?
Oh, I'd say the one insured by State Farm is definitely as cleaner and whiter and getting the fastest claim service. Do I win?
Well, Mrs. Brackenridge, we're going to make it possible for you and your husband to visit an office of State Farm Mutual. What do you think of that?
Did you say I won or lost?
filed with the league office. I've got to admit that my sympathies lie with a guy who gets a telegram from the league office telling him that he's got to come up with a little cash. As a fellow who's gotten a few of those telegrams in his time, I can assure you that it's not a very pleasant feeling. But sometimes I find that I have to go the other way, and this is one of those times. Recently, National Football League President Pete Rozelle and the president of the National Basketball Association, Walter Kennedy, took action against a coach in their respective leagues. And this time, I have to go with the league presidents. Rozelle stepped in against Baltimore Colts coach Don Shula. Right now, Shula is the coach of the only undefeated team in either of the pro leagues, so it doesn't figure that he'd have too much to get upset about. But earlier this year, the Colts played a 24-24 tie with the Los Angeles Rams, and Shula thought his team should have won. He was unhappy, and his target was the officiating. Shula said, "I'm sick and tired of tying and losing ball games on officials' calls." It didn't take long before he heard from the league office on that subject. A little while later, Walter Kennedy had to step in and find Bill Van Bredekoff, coach of the Los Angeles Lakers, for the remark that he made about the refereeing in the NBA. The thing to remember here is that both Shula and Van Bredekoff may have been right in what they said. But right or wrong, they're guilty if they say it publicly. And that's the big word right here, publicly. I know only too well how a player or a coach or a manager can get upset at an official. I've done it and I've paid good money for doing it. But no matter how mad I got, I always knew that the disagreement was a private one. Whatever I had to say to an umpire was between us. And if I had any beefs after it was over, well, that was just too bad. It may sound funny to use the word in connection with a player or coach who's squawking to an official, but the best way to describe the problem is to say sportsmanship. You hear the word if one football player takes a cheap shot at another player. You hear it if a baseball pitcher knocks down a hitter. Yet both of these things are fairer than going to the press with a beef about the officiating. You see, if a pitcher knocks down a hitter, that pitcher can be knocked down too. The football player who takes a cheap shot is apt to find somebody taking one at him. But the referee or the umpire who gets ripped publicly has no recourse. I've told umpires what I think of their umpire, and they've told me what they thought about my catching. But the conversation was private. It might have been nasty, but it was private. If I told the press that I thought that he was a bad umpire, he might be embarrassed. If he said publicly that I was a bad catcher, he might get fired. Coaches and managers don't ever say that the officials won a game for them, only that they caused them to lose. Some of them complain publicly and apologize privately. The only defender the officials have is the league president, and Pete Rozelle and Walter Kennedy deserve a bow for doing their jobs. This is Joe Garagiola from Monitor Sports, and now this from Time, the weekly news magazine.
From its inception, the editorial standard of Time, the weekly news magazine, has been not how much it could get between its covers, but how much it could get off its pages into the minds of its readers. Information, insight, ideas about politics, science, business, the arts. Time covers every area of interest in a concise, lively style that engages the minds of 20 million readers around the world. The more you need to know, the more you need Time.
You can hear Joe Garagiola's informal, lively coverage of the sports scene every weekend on Monitor and weekdays on NBC Radio. Next, James Lost from Fest, Germany, with a little known but titled Hoppy Music.
Thank you.
is Monitor 67 with something for everyone, whether you're at home or on the go, anywhere in the USA. In the area of Raleigh, North Carolina, we're heard on WPTF. Now a word from our NBC stations all down the line, then more Monitor 67.
This is Bill Lyon. For complete and comprehensive news coverage, plus sports with Kyle Roach, tune to News of the World, weeknights on NBC Radio.
At a racket that has reached alarming proportions, the use of stolen credit cards. First, music. Here's a group that's already established in England, beginning to get underway in this country, the Mike Somms Singers with Handful of Songs.
I've got a handful of songs to sing you. Can't stop my voice when it longs to sing you. New songs, songs to bring you happiness.
Center.
Running out of interesting things to do? Today, why not take in a good gas station? Pop into Citgo, a little different gas station. Get to know your car a little better. Get some Citgo driving tips. Do a little window shopping. Plan a trip. Or just relax a few minutes in a gas station that's just a bit nicer. Citgo. You may not want to live there, but it's a nice place to visit.
News was made this week by disclosure of a nationwide scheme in which organized crime groups allegedly spent $350,000 for travel and living expenses with stolen credit cards while they engaged in criminal activities. An expert on this new type of fraud is Chief Postal Inspector Henry Montague, and he was interviewed for Monitor by Paul Duke in Washington.
Mr. Montague, just how has the underworld moved into the credit card business?
The credit card business, Mr. Duke, is now a big-time operation. There were 140 million credit cards issued last year. They have arranged it so that they can control many of the stolen credit cards. They falsify identification, and they have the organization which enables them to get rid of the merchandise which is obtained by the illegal use of these credit cards. In other words, they have fences who can get rid of the merchandise in a quick period of time.
Are they manufacturing and forging cards?
Yes, we know that at least two cases where arrangements were made for the counterfeiting of the cards, and then they are used on a wide scale throughout the country. In fact, they even provide the falsified credentials to go along with the use of the credit cards.
Give us some examples of abuses.
With regard to use of the mail, we have investigated one case where a man who wanted to get a credit card ordered the card in the name of another bona fide a citizen. And after ordering the card, he then watched the mailbox of the other citizen until the card was delivered and stole the letter in which the card was enclosed. And, of course, he then used it. We know of another case, which is about the opposite of that, where a credit card holder reported to the company that his card had been stolen, and then he went out and used it and ran up a lot of big bills. When these bills came in, he tried to be relieved of them. The company was suspicious and reported it. On investigation, we found that his card had never been stolen, and in fact, he had run up the bills himself. There are many other ways where credit cards are obtained, by stealing them from glove compartments in cars, by stealing them when homes are robbed, by stealing them when a person is careless and lays the card down on the counter in one of the stores in which he is dealing, and many other things of that sort.
What should you do if your credit card is stolen?
You should report it immediately to the company which issued the card so that you will not be held liable for the bills that are run up. And also, it would be well to notify the local postal inspector so that we will have a line on it, and if we later get a complaint from the company, well, we'll be in a position to make an early investigation.
Most of the credit card crooks caught.
Yes, most of them are caught. It takes time, and in meanwhile, they run up some big bills. The estimates of the losses last year run anywhere from $20 million to $100 million. And we think from the cases that we've handled that that's a pretty fair estimate.
A flourishing new racket indeed. Thanks very much, Henry Montague, Chief Inspector for the U.S. Postal Service. This is Paul Duke for Monitor in Washington.
Moral, if you lose a credit card, report it. Better. Don't lose it.
This is Ed McMahon. For my next act, I'm going to tell you all about a beauty product. Well, don't laugh, because I really know what I'm talking about. It's a shampoo. A real good concentrate shampoo. It's made by the Breck people. It's called Breck Concentrate, not surprisingly. And it's what you might call a family shampoo. My wife, Alice, found it first for us. And being concentrated, just a little goes a long, long way and makes plenty of lather. Not a bad idea with a bunch of kids around like us. And being Breck, it's a very good shampoo, full of conditioners and all those things. So it even suits baby fine hair like my daughter Linda's. And it's in a plastic tube, so you don't have to worry about the kids breaking it. And we take it with us on the boat in summer for that very reason. And I like it because one shampoo for all of us means we don't have all those bottles cluttering up the bathroom shelf. So here's the name again, Breck Concentrate Shampoo. The McMahon Family Shampoo. You'll like it.
Thank you.
Oscar Gilberto. Now, a listening reminder. Later today on Monitor, with Ted Steele as your host, we'll be meeting Michael Stewart, who wrote the books of the musicals Hello, Dolly, Carnival, and Bye Bye Boydie. Captain Eddie Rickenbacker, who gives his ideas on how to end the war in Vietnam. Max Lerner, with some opinions on the youth of today. Plus, basketball coach Bill Sharman, singer Ed Ames, and British movie star Michael Caine. That's later today on the same NBC station, so be sure to listen. You're on the Monitor Beacon.
Darling, let us have some Chateau Martin wine. Your eyes shine like Chateau Martin's sparkling burgundy. Your ruby red lips are like Chateau Martin's blackberry wine, and your body have some Chateau Martin wine.
I'll bet you hand this wine to all the girls.
And they love it.
The next time you hand a girl a wine, make it Chateau Martin champagne, the delightful New York State champagne made from choice grapes, carefully selected from the vineyards of New York's celebrated Finger Lakes, to give you that very special Chateau Martin flavor, flavor that bubbles over and adds sparkle to any occasion. The next time you hand a girl a wine, make it Chateau Martin champagne.
I am rich about the Chateau Martin wine. My brother, the rock and roll singer.
Chateau Martin Wines, New York, makers of famous Chateau Martin vineyards. Had any lately?
The Conversation Station, WNBC, New York.
This is Monitor 6-7. Morgan here, 3 minutes away. Mel Allen with all the latest news from the world of sports. First of all, that fellow Sinatra, with a description of an unnamed city, part tribute, part complaint. This town.
This town.
Mercury, where the new 68 models are rolling again.
Lincoln Mercury's rolling again. again, and your mercury dealer is back in action with the finest mercuries ever built. The fine car touch is something you can see and feel in the look, the ride, the luxury of every mercury. And it's put there by the same people who make the Lincoln Continental. And your mercury dealer's got a selection of brand new 68 models you can choose from right now, with plenty more on the way. Park Lanes, Monterey's, Cougars, and an all-new low-price luxury line called Mercury Montego. 33 models, all built with the fine car touch by the makers of Lincoln Continental. Your mercury dealer is ready to talk business. And if you are smart enough to wait for a mercury, now's the time to collect your reward. See your mercury dealer today. You'll be glad you didn't settle for second best.
At the Monitor Sports Desk now. A nail fell out. But anyway, here's Mel Allen.
That strikes me in a strange manner. Thank you very much, Henry. Hello there, everybody. On the Monitor College football scoreboard, first of all, let's take a look at games involving the top 10 teams. First, USC. They play later. We're giving completed games only. Second-ranked Tennessee walloped Tulane 35-14, scoring the first four times it had the ball. Third-ranked North Carolina State upset by Penn State 13-8. It was NC State's first loss of the season, and get this, they were halted by Penn State on the Penn State one-yard line with just 40 seconds left to go. Fourth-ranked UCLA plays later. Fifth-ranked Purdue smashed Minnesota 41-12. Minnesota was ranked 10th. Sixth-rated Indiana nipped Michigan State 14-13. The Hoosiers still unbeaten. They won 8 in a row. They scored on a 69-yard drive with less than 3 minutes to play to remain undefeated. Seventh-rated Wyoming walloped New Mexico 42-6. They remain undefeated, the only three in the nation. Oklahoma, rated 8th, ran it up against Iowa State 52-14. Ninth-ranked Notre Dame crushed Pitt 38-0. One other poll, Houston is rated 10th. They play Memphis State tonight. Alabama in a tie for 10th plays LSU tonight. Elsewhere, Dartmouth defeated Columbia 13-7. Virginia rolled over North Carolina 40-17. Colgate 38, Bucknell nothing. Princeton ruined Harvard 45-6 with Ellis Moore scoring 5 touchdowns, an Ivy League record. Cornell and Brown, a 14-all tie. Syracuse romped over Holy Cross 41-7, as Larry Kazanka set a Syracuse career rushing record of 2,722 yards with 103 gained today. Western Michigan 18, Xavier of Ohio 7. Florida upset Georgia 17-16. Yale down Penn 44-22, remains unbeaten in the Ivy League with a record of 5 wins, no losses. Dartmouth is a runner-up with a record of 4-1, as is Princeton with a record of 4-1. Fordham 33, Manhattan 7 in a club football game. Duke sunk Navy 35-16. It was Bates 38, Colby 14, Clemson 28, Maryland 7, Amherst 25, Trinity 24, Army 22, Utah nothing. Ohio State 17, Wisconsin 15, Richmond 20, the Citadel 3, Rhode Island 34, Maine 12. Michigan defeated Illinois 21-14, and it was Kentucky, the winner over Vanderbilt, 12-7. Auburn swamped Mississippi State 36-0. Quarterback Lauren Carter pitched 4 touchdown passes. Texas Christian upset Texas Tech 16-0. It was VMI 26 and Boston College 13. Northwestern walloped Iowa 39-24. Nebraska 9, Oklahoma State nothing. Arkansas defeated Rice 23-9. Wake Forest and Tulsa played a 24-all deadlock. South Dakota 31, Drake 21. Horse racing at Laurel, the $150,000 Washington, D.C. International, aired by Monitor. The United States 1-2 in that, with Fort Marcy upsetting Damascus and a photo finish. And Australia's Tobin Bonds third in the 9-horse field. Manuel de Casa was up on the winner. And at Aqueduct, the $56,000 Roma handicap, won by Kentucky Derby champion Proud Clarion in track record time, 155 flat for the mile and 3/16. Successor second, Royal Speed third. And finally, in Davis Cup tennis, South Africa eliminated India, advanced to interzone finals against Spain to be played later this month. The winner of the South Africa-Spain matches will challenge Australia for the cup. And it will be refereed by Henry Morgan. And that's the latest fortune news, Henry. Mel Allen here, friends.
Thank you, Mel. Now a word about Autolite.
You're listening to the car that won the Indianapolis 500. A.J. Foyt's $50,000 Coyote Ford. A high-priced racing car with a low-price ignition coil. It's an Autolite coil, almost a carbon copy of the one you buy, under $10. How come a low-priced Autolite coil in a $50,000 racing car? Because there is no better coil, not at any price. Get Autolite ignition parts for your car, whatever kind you drive.
Mel Allen, with all the latest sports news and results, is a regular on Weekend Monitor.
An updated version of a song written in 1925.
Traveling through the weekend world with Monitor 67, I'm your tour guide, H. Morgan. Stay tuned now for the latest NBC News on the hour.
Comedy smash. See the 90-day